Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
This is Dr. Lana Love. Welcome to our show.
Live at BBS Radio from Sydney, Australia. And today we have our special guest, Stash, with us, who's going to talk to us about the Global Freedom Fest. Very excited. We tried to have Stash on before, but he's back. And we're really excited to have you on our show. Stash, welcome.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Well, thank you. I appreciate the chance to share. We are here.
We're glad to be here. We're glad to have you on Universal Soul Love Radio.
Stash, the Global Freedom Fest. I mean, this just sounds amazing. This is like the Woodstock of our century, isn't it?
Well, that was the basis for the whole thing to begin with. I had had a life-threatening illness. I mean, it almost took me out the first part of the year. And as I started to recover, I was floundering. I needed something to do. I know I was kept around for some reason. And I was talking with my best friend, who is now the co-founder. And he said, well, why don't you follow your passion? And I said, what's that? I mean, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, you've been in the entertainment business for 40 years. Why don't you create the event of the millennium? And that started me thinking, and I sat down with a mind mapping program and started putting everything I knew about putting an event together into this mind map. And 2 hours later, the Global Freedom Fest concept was born, and I bounced it off a couple of friends, and it has just grown from there.
And I'm really happy because this is something I've been trying to do for quite a while. Lana and I had been talking about having a conference in Australia, and we'd been talking to past guests and friends and, you know, for about the last year. And finally, you know, you stepped forward, and it was fantastic because it's just like you had this vision and you're carrying it. And I'm so grateful that, you know, we ran into you through a mutual friend, Eagleheart, who's been on our show several times. And this has really been picking up momentum. We've got quite a few people who are interested, and it's just the energy is just amazing.
Well, those who want to participate, of course, the obvious idea here is to involve everyone that wants to participate. And in the long run, our audience, I don't think too terribly big. I just want to reach 7+ billion people in the world.
Oh.
And let them know that they're free, and let them know that they can get together for a week without violence, without cultural differences, with getting in the way, without religious difference. We are all, and this is the key to my belief, we are all one tribe. We are the human tribe on the planet Earth. And we must cooperate, we must live together, and we must take care of our world, or our world is not going to let us live here.
Mm-hmm. I second that.
I love that. I think it's wonderful. All humans are all one tribe. Does that mean you're not including aliens in this? Or?
No, humans, they may be humans, but they're from a different tribe.
Fair enough. Yes, true. Very true. We love the idea.
I sent David a document last night. I believe I sent it to him. It was called Attention Spaceship Earth. And it was something I wrote a few years back about how an alien passing through our system and watching us for a while would view us and realize how illogical so many of the things we're doing are. And that got me to thinking that, you know, we all are doing this together, and we're all the evils we're allowing. We're not standing up and saying no. I believe in the words of Gandhi when he said that if the followers won't follow, the leaders cannot lead.
Hmm.
And then I saw the movie Network, which, you know, their basic premise was, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore, and I'm not going to follow you. So this started me thinking. in a lot of different directions. And then things started appearing left and right in my life. What the bleep do we know? And other such creations, yes, all opened up many doors for me, spiritually. I'm not a religious man, but I'm a spiritually active man, and I believe we are all equal. We all have equal rights. I believe in the idea that America was founded on, you know, all sovereigns, kings in our own lives, natural law, do no harm, allow no harm to be done, and, you know, honor your promises. This is how simple law is.
That's it.
Rule, basically, is you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you don't want harm done to you, don't do harm. It's so simple, but it's too simple and too logical for most politicians to follow. So, you know, we leave them out of the picture a lot of times.
Sure. Well, that's Lana and I share those exact same beliefs. And that's just ultimately the golden rule when you roll it all in. So certainly I've spent more than enough time in the legal system, and I know you're right. So that's just my take on it.
And we certainly know how strong and powerful these movements can become. It's interesting. I mean, we're just about to interview the director of What the Bleep, Do We Know? And I mean, that's certainly had a huge influence. There's a number of other things that have had a huge influence, I think, spiritually on the planet. And certainly the Global Freedom Fest is likely to impact so many people that the effects are likely to be very profound. And I would imagine that it's all going to be in the spirit of having fun, like a festival.
And celebration.
It just sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, we need a big vision. And why shouldn't we have a big vision? Why should we have a small vision? It's like, why should you have a small God? And I'm using that term very loosely anyhow. But that was an old saying, you know, have a bigger God or something, you know.
Yes.
So
the only limits that we have are those that we place on ourselves. This is the human. One of my favorite quotes is from Robert Heinlein. And he said that a human being should be able to, and he listed a whole lot of things, from changing a diaper to conning a spaceship, programming a computer, cooking a tasty meal. The tagline being that specialization is for insects. We are all capable of so many, anything we set our mind to. Anything a man can think of, he can create. And I use that term asexually, man, woman, man as being. You know, we can do this.
And we can.
We can do it together. And
that's right.
If everybody shares and cooperates and works together, then the sum becomes greater than the parts.
That's right.
Continue to grow. So, of course, being in entertainment, I think in terms of entertainment. This is people getting out of their day-to-day mundane lives and suspending their disbelief and maybe go seeing a magic act or seeing a musical act and being part of something, a lot of times something bigger than themselves. At least that's the way they feel. You know, you go to a show to experience the big, the someone up there actually doing something you wish you could do. And what I want to do is involve everybody and their creativity in a week-long event and stream it all over the world, over the internet, through every available channel we can find, you know, so that all of the people in the world can see that we can get along. You mentioned earlier, Lana, and I have to say this is the first time I've had the pleasure to actually speak with you. We chatted on Skype. But we have to get to all of these people one way or another and bring this this message that we can have fun. And when I say entertainment, I'm not talking about just another rock show. You mentioned Woodstock. They set the bar really, really high for events. But I want to do something on a global scale, at least two major events on every continent and then small events all over the world, you know. So, and we're shooting for 2018. That is my hope. That gives us 2 years to put this together, and we're just under 6 months in. But I also want to do a year of advertising on this event. I mean, out and out advertising that, you know, we're bringing freedom. We're celebrating freedom. We all live in freedom. We are free to be the humans that we are. Without any kind of, I know that a lot of people say that is anarchy, but anarchy is not a bad word, only when governments use it. They use it as a derogatory term. The only ones that can really control our actions and our thoughts and our feelings are us individually. We have to be responsible human beings, and we have to try and help others that need it, try and help keep our environment, our lifestyles, our beliefs intact without doing damage to others.
Absolutely.
The statement that, oh, you offended me. Well, you know, I'm in America. You have the right to be offended. I have the right to offend you. You know, you better rethink what you're thinking, because what I said, I believe, or I wouldn't have said it. And I don't do guilt, because that's you believing that I did something wrong when I did something that I believe is right. And I refuse to feel guilty about that. Mm. You know, every person has to take on their own personal responsibility, and this is something ownership that in the Western countries has been, they're trying to breed out of us. They want us all subservient to a nanny state. Well, I'm not going to go there. I never have. I never will. I bow to no man except out of respect.
Yeah, I do understand what you're saying. I mean, we certainly don't want to go out of our way to intentionally hurt people with our words and our day-to-day interactions. But I think what you're saying is, you know, when we're feeling oppressed, we have the right to complain, and we do. And it's, we're not trying to offend anyone. We're telling you, you know, this is not okay, whatever the situation happens to be, and you can't do this. The stuff gets very difficult.
I like the word freedom. I think it's a beautiful word. It certainly is not anarchy. I think stressing freedom allows us to know that we can stand in our own power. I mean, obviously, we are a community, and I think respect is also an important word, respect and cooperation. So we do not intentionally hurt other people, but they do not have the right to hurt us, and we stand in our power as free citizens, but cooperatively for the greater good of humanity.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lana. And of course, one of my security managers recently said a certain amount of conflict, depending on what kind of meaning you give to the word conflict is okay to a certain degree, because people need to be able to speak out, and this is a way of resolving conflict. Because people remain silent, then people are always going to suffer. Otherwise, they're going to suffer in silence. So what you're saying, Lana and Stash, is exactly true.
Summed it up really well. When he said, I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yes.
Right. Oh, Patrick Henry. He was very instrumental in the American Revolution.
And of course, our biggest downfall so far has been one of my other favorite quotes, which was Thomas Jefferson saying, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. We have not been vigilant. We have not felt our power. We've let people, we got complacent and let people take our power. But the only power they have is that which we give them.
Yes.
That's right. And we do. We give up our power so often when we decide that we don't want to work things out with each other. We'd rather run to lawyers and we'd rather run to our politicians and say, I want you to pass laws to restrict this and restrict that and enforce this and enforce that. That's giving away your power. Once you give away your power, people are happy to take that power and establish laws and rules and policies and create enforcement arms to enforce those laws and rules over everyone. And more often than not, those laws and rules will get abused. So it's not no one's interest.
That's one of the reasons why I'm trying to insist that our events take place on sovereign land, for instance, in American Native American reservations, so that we step outside of the influence of all of the world's governments. You know, I mean, I'd much rather work with Native tribal elders and tribal councils than I would the U.S. government any day of the week. You know, these people are at least reasonable, logical, and they come from a different perspective in that their job is to take care of the world, not to own it, because they don't, they can't own it. We can't own it. It'll be gone here long after we're gone.
That's right.
Our job is to take care of, we're the only species that defecates in our own nest and in our own food supply. Come on. How much common sense does it take to know that we can't do that and continue to exist?
It's like, not very intelligent, is it? You know, there's a wonderful cartoon that I read of two aliens discussing life on Earth. And one alien says, oh, it appears the humans have evolved quite substantially. What do you think? And the other alien says, well, they can't be too intelligent. They're actually aiming nuclear warheads at each other.
Oh, yeah. It was asked by a I've heard that it was Gandhi. I heard that it was a Chinese philosopher. I've heard that it was the Dalai Lama. But someone asked, what do you think of intelligent life in America? You know, and it's, you know, I think it's a great idea. When are they going to do it?
that is a good one. Look, I must say, Stash, it seems to me that one of the principles that you're relying upon is the mass awakening of awareness and consciousness. And because, yeah, and that's why I guess you've decided to make this global, because insisting on your freedom is certainly very important, but we can't do that without everyone doing that. I mean, for instance, the concept of going off the grid and, you know, having your own water supply and solar power, et cetera. I do believe there was a woman in California who was fined, and I think they're taking her to court for being off grid. Now, and she's expressing her freedom, but that cannot be done unless everyone does that together. And I think that's the probably the basis of why you're wanting to do it this way, that we need the numbers, we need the whole of humanity to stand in their power and do the right thing by themselves, by their community, and by the planet. Without that mass awareness, I don't think we can do this.
And the leaders need to step forward and do that, and certainly the awakened people need to step forward and do that, people that are brave and have the courage to do that. And people are doing that, and I'm seeing amazing things happen in the world with so many people who are – I like the word – a couple of words that you said earlier when you said you were spiritually active. What a great phrase.
Thank you. Well, you know, I've been using this – for a while now. The United States government and the Department of Advanced Research Projects, DARPA, made a huge mistake for the cabal, if you want to call it that, when they released the internet to the world. Because as of today, we have the most well-informed, knowledgeable global population in the history of mankind. Because so many people have access to so much information. And I have been saying that we have been engaged in a revolution of consciousness.
Yes, this is the age of consciousness. Decades.
Now, absolutely. The actual revolution is starting. And we're close to that 100th monkey point where everybody, you know, not everybody needs to learn it. All of a sudden, this is all common knowledge.
I think you're right.
All what we share, and we know this is right. And the only way to do that is to stand up and declare it. You cannot live as a sovereign being unless you live as a sovereign being. That's why the term, for instance, sovereign citizen is such an oxymoron, because you cannot be the sovereign and be a citizen who is subservient to something else. You are either a free human being, sovereign unto yourself, guiding your own life with your own rights that you demand, that end at the next person's nose. Your rights begin at you, my rights begin at me, and I have the right to think, believe, act, and whatever, and do what I want as long as I'm not doing you harm. I can disagree with your lifestyle. I can disagree with particular thoughts that you have, but that doesn't mean I can go stomp your face into the ground because of it.
Right.
You're free to live your way. And I've said too many times, I don't care if you're black, white, blue, purple, green, gay, straight, Catholic, Jew, Hindu, Rasta. What other labels can you come up with?
Many. We've got endless labels.
I don't do labels.
They're damaging.
I treat people in the way that they treat me. If they treat me with respect, they get respect. If they don't, then I either leave them, let them go on their way and get away from me. You know, you have a right not to like me, but don't stand here and get in my face telling me you don't like me. That's not your place. I don't care. And for most people, you know, in the overall scheme of my life, and excuse me for this, but I tell them that your opinion has the weight of a fart in a hurricane in my life. Think about it. It's just you, your problem with me is in your head.
Well, that's true.
And you know, I'm trying to overcome this by bringing people together. For a solid week, not just one day, but for a solid week, people getting together and sharing all around the world, not just physically, but through this new informational device that we have. It is the ultimate use of it. All people sharing everywhere and enjoying it. Being happy in their freedom, being happy in their individuality, being happy just to be alive on this beautiful little dirt ball in the middle of nowhere. So this is where I'm coming from, and this is basically the thing with the festival. And there will be a zero tolerance policy for violence at the festival. Anyone engaging in or inciting any kind of violence, one time, you're gone. You're out. This is a non-acceptable behavior inside the festival grounds. We will have a peaceful gathering, a joyous time. You know, people can thrive and grow in this environment. And we show people other ways, like creating within the festival grounds, say, an organic farm that teaches sustainability, organic growing, aquaculture, permaculture. Another one that maybe shares someone's culture, you know, another area. When we talk about the vendors for these things, if you're serving food, it has to be pure, unadulterated food, organic No chemicals, no GMOs, no nothing. Just good food. If you're selling a product, it has to be an earth-friendly product. It cannot, you know, be, I mean, petroleum products are out the door. And we are avoiding at all possible costs any big corporate entanglements whatsoever. I don't want Pepsi banners floating all over the site. I want, you
fantastic.
Know.
No organic Coca-Cola. Fantastic. Look, we look forward to perhaps after the break talking about what sort of events there will be and what you expect and how we can get people together. But we're just going to take a short break now.
And why don't we just have you give the website to the Global Peace Global Freedom Fest so that people can look it up during the break.
That's quite simply http://globalfreedomfest, all one word, .earth, E-A-R-T-H.
Okay, fantastic. And we'll be back right after the break.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. I'm Dr. Lana Love.
This is Detective David Love.
And today we have a special guest with us, Stash, or the Blue Wizard, who is organizing the Global Freedom Festival.
Stash. I'm very excited to have you back, Stash. We're having a great conversation about the Global Freedom Fest.
So, Stash, tell us what your... Stash, tell us, what is your vision? You talked about the possibility for there to be models of organic growing. I'm assuming that there'll be dancers and singers and speakers. And give us an image of what you envision.
Well, of course, I see now in my idea of doing this show, I see circles within circles within circles. In the center of it all, of course, is the main entertainment area, a huge circular area with video screens all around and actually including things like a plumbing system for both fresh water and waste removal to be put in these venues so that, unlike Woodstock, you don't have to walk a half a mile to get a drink of water or pee.
That's very practical.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then we leave that in when we leave. It improves the land, and the community that is there can use that for other things, too. Outside of that, I see a ring of vendors, maybe two or three blocks, depending on the size of the venue, circular around selling wares from all over the world. And this is at each event, as many people as we can rope in as possible. Some may have a booth at more than one event, but then right outside of that, in another big circle, I see what I consider theme areas, as in the farm. You know, it might be a small farm, but it's working year round. It's practical. It teaches people things. These are all these theme areas. They can be about your country. They can be about alternative energy. They can be about alternative healing methods. I see that. Then outside of that, we have a camping area, a huge camping area, where people can come and spend a week. And then around all of that is the parking, so that there are no private vehicles on the venue itself. Mm. Now, I also envision, because of my no violence policy, I will have security people at these shows, but they must be the even-tempered, non-violent, effective type. And we will monitor.
Spiritual security officers.
That sounds like the Australian philosophy. That's the kind of training I got, de-escalating and defusing. Even bouncers are not, even bodyguards do not usually carry weapons in Australia. It's
right. Well,
very different.
Those are not allowed at the event. There are no weapons at the event. I mean, there's practical utility things like knives, you know. I mean, I'm a stagehand. I carry a knife on my hip, but it's a tool. It's not a weapon. You know, the working personnel need their tools. I can understand that. But John Q. Skinhead, who comes in with his Nazi philosophy, is not allowed to bring a knife. I'm sorry. You can come in and espouse your philosophy all you want as long as you don't start violence. You know, it has to be peaceful. But on the main stages, I see, you know, going from an African dance troupe to a Japanese taiko drummer corps to a presentation by a world-renowned philosopher to a Scottish bagpipe and drum corps, you know. Dance, whatever.
All kinds of
the spectrum of human art.
It's a grand vision.
Areas. I want an art gallery, and I want art from all over the world in that art gallery, so people can be exposed to what's going on in another part of the world. We live so much in isolation. And we've been isolated in America by our government and our media. I don't want that. I don't believe in censorship. I never have. If you don't like something on the radio, change the channel. You know, if you don't like something, don't engage in it. I've been fighting this battle for a long time because I'm a cigarette smoker. You know, I try to be a conscientious smoker and keep it away from those who don't smoke. But if you're going to get up in my face and tell me you don't like it, well, walk 12 feet away. I don't care. You know, it's, you should stop smoking because it's bad for you. Yeah, well, you know, keep nagging at me and it's going to be bad for you.
I did. Oh, dear Stash, I could be the devil's advocate here. I will restrain myself. But I can't help thinking that the large corporations that own these cigarette companies are taking your freedom away. But well, I do recognize.
You know why? I smoke Native American tobacco that is not safe for big corporations.
Good on you. Oh, okay. And look, in fact, I mean, I know that being a doctor, that the carcinogens, that the compounds that cause cancer in cigarettes are basically mostly pesticides, and tobacco itself, nicotine itself, can actually stimulate the brain and protect from Alzheimer's. So
I also found out a study that says that, and it explains why the American government jumped into such a big anti-smoking campaign, in that nicotine also counteracts the effects of fluoride in the water.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
And they can't maintain a docile population with fluoridation like they did in the German prison camps if people are smoking and they're not being affected by the water.
How interesting. That's really interesting.
I have seen people with, you know, I've worked with, as a case manager a long time ago, I worked with people who apparently had psychosis. I mean, you know, we know what that looks like in people. Can't explain it, but, or at least I can't. You probably can, Lana. But what I'm saying is I've seen the apparent benefits of nicotine with people who seem to have psychosis or diagnosed with psychosis, and how that seems to mitigate the psychosis and the episodes. Yeah. I don't know.
It is very complicated. The same as the argument with marijuana. I think for some people it's very destructive. For other people it might not be. But essentially we're talking about freedom.
There is no such thing. And I'm on a big campaign about this too. There is no marijuana. All of these laws that talk about marijuana, there's no such thing. What we're talking about here and what the world needs is cannabis hemp for medicinal. There are over 1,500 use. No, there's more than that. 5,200, I think it is, uses for the cannabis plant. And it is, in my opinion, the most benign plant on the planet. It is medicine, it is food, it is clothing, it is building materials. It would disrupt any number of large corporate industries, and that's why it's illegal. And I don't do illegal. Illegal does not affect me, because legal, the term legal, and I think it's Black's Law, fourth edition, is the undoing of God's work. I do lawful, what is lawful under the Constitution and under God's laws, the Creator's laws, excuse me. I mean, you know, whatever you call it, Creator, sure. God, I don't care. The higher spirit, you know, those, there are some basic things you just don't do. But all of the rest of it is superfluous BS, codes, statutes, ordinances, all of that. That's corporate mandates for corporate citizens and corporate employees. Every government in the world is a corporation right now. And they're all under operating under the law of the sea. No matter how you spell that, S-E-A or S-E-E, as in the papal sea.
I own the land as far as I can see, was how that went.
Yes. Well, no, you don't own anything. And fictitious corporations, fictitious beings, persons, cannot own real property. They
that's
cannot.
Right.
Real property includes you.
But I believe that's why the patriarch was called the Holy See, because everything he saw was given to him by God. But anyhow,
getting back to the festival, I must say I love the idea of all the themes that you have. I think that's really going to work very, very well. I also like the idea that people actually be able to camp there for a whole week, because, I mean, we do have a lot of festivals that are like this, not as big, but, you know, we have the Body Mind Festival in Sydney. They've got them in LA. But by actually staying there and camping, I think it brings out something else. It brings out, you know, I guess it's a temporary village, and it's you come together as a community and you stay there for a week, and
it's
that
a much
can bring
bigger
out,
experience.
That's right. That's right.
And so, instead, yeah,
Burning Man on steroids.
I love it.
Another aspect of this that I want to make sure that I bring up is that there are people who are not going to be able to afford a ticket.
Yes, right. We want to talk about how is this going to be funded?
Well,
and this is, and also just one more thing, Stash. This is not just a one-off. We're going to be doing this all over the world, we hope. And this is why Lana and I are involved in supporting you in this, and the people that you're working with, because we'd like to have one in Australia at some point, where we've got a number of people who are interested, including people possibly like Alexandra Meters of Galactic Connection and so many other people that we're speaking to have a strong interest in this. So, you know, there's a lot of, it's a big production. So, you know, that we're looking into funding and whatnot. So go.
At the end of this, I will give some email addresses where people can contact us if they want to get involved.
Okay.
But for the moment, just to deal with the poor, those who want to be involved and can't afford it. Well, I have a volunteer situation in mind where you come and you bring, all you have is the tent on your back. You come in, you're issued a card, just like everybody at the festival is issued a card, but this is a volunteer card. And you come in, you're given a place to camp, and you're given three meals a day, but you give us 2 hours a day of work. Whether it's picking up litter, doing grunt work if you're capable, serving food in a volunteer kitchen for other volunteers. There is a veritable plethora of things that people could do. You know, I plan to, with the financing I'm trying to arrange, to be able to justly compensate everyone who actually works for an event. And there will be a plethora of events all over the world. We'd like to have at least two on the Australian continent during that week in 2018 when the rest of the world is doing it. So you're on the right track there. I've got people in Scotland. I have someone in Sri Lanka. I have a couple of people in India. I have some in South Africa, New Zealand, who have already talk to me about the possibilities.
Wow, this is really, really global. And so is this, are you planning for this event to occur all around the world at the same time?
That's correct. 1 week. Wow. All around the world. And as I say, streamed. So you can tune in to a channel on somewhere on the net and see a festival in Scotland. Or you can turn around and you can see one in South Africa. Or you can watch the one, that's going on in Germany right now. Or maybe they are holding one in France. I don't know. The idea is that this is a week-long party. And it might even involve, who knows, a week-long workers' strike in some countries because they all just give up and go to the festival.
Well, they might have to make it a public holiday throughout the world.
Maybe. Oh,
darn. Darn the luck. But yeah, I want people to be, I want everyone who wants to be involved in this to be able to be involved in one way or another. Whatever they can, they're capable of doing that adds to the global community.
The mind boggles at what that could achieve because
absolutely
just in a similar way to people meditating together in unison, if everyone has this festival at the same time and everyone is focused on love, community, alternative ways of living, I wonder how that's going to contribute to really ascending the whole consciousness of the world. I mean, that could just be amazing.
And this is, Lana and I have been talking about the Super Consciousness Project for quite a while. And this is almost like this is the Super Consciousness Project. I just want to leave everyone listening with one thought and question. How powerful is your mind? How powerful are you as a sovereign being? How much power do you actually have? And I want everyone to really delve into that as we go forward in the coming weeks when we have Deidre and William Arntz on our show with the filmmaker for What the Bleep Do We Know, and we're going to have Christine Carlson on our show with Don't Sweat the Small Stuff series and et cetera. Going forward, because we have unimaginable power, and I know this, well beyond anything we could ever imagine. We can accomplish so much more than our limited beliefs. And we just need to know this and accept this.
Fantastic, yes.
And, you know, you were asking me during the break, you wanted to know a little bit about my background.
Yes. we know you well, but...
I don't know how much time we have. I
was
brought up by
5 minutes.
I was brought up by two very enlightened human beings. They were both raving geniuses. They took us kids through every kind of religion they could find. And when we turned of age, they said, choose your own path. And initially I was in broadcasting, doing your engineer's job and many others. Basically, I tried to get every job in the entertainment business I could find and get into, from business aspects, advertising, marketing, copywriting, acting, dancing, singing, building transmitters. When I finally got into the music industry the entertainment industry it was 40 years ago, I have somewhere around 14,000 shows under my belt, doing everything. From truck loader to promoter to road manager, rigger, whatever. I wanted to do it all. I wanted to learn the industry. And now what I'm trying to do is take all those years of experience and put them to the benefit of as many people as I can, because that's what I have left in my life. You know, I'm 66 years old. I don't have a lot of time to play around anymore. And I think that's why I was kept alive. So here we are, and this is what I'm doing, and people are working with me. And once this gets started, it is no longer my concept. It is everybody's festival. Everybody who works on this shares in the success of the festival. We can go into the funding of it another time. I'm working on that right now. I'm creating a global asset protected trust that is basically funded by the public, and the public are the ultimate beneficiaries because the profits from this go to people who are making a difference in the world, not big corporations or big corporate charities, but people who are working to make a difference, people who are creating alternative energy, alternative health care, alternative, you know, people who are doing something to help humans.
And therein lies our power. Exactly what you're doing.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you're certainly very well qualified for the job.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Very impressive and so just grateful.
Absolutely. And for our listeners, if they look at your website, can people sort of write in to, you know, offer their services or to, you know, suggest that they can, you know, run some workshops? Where are you at? What would you like people to do?
On the website itself, there is a menu item that says contact us. And that gives several ways to do it, mostly writing to info@globalfreedomfest.earth or to stash@globalfreedomfest.earth. Those are the two best ones to, if you want to be involved, I can get the word to my team, and I'm overwhelmed at the team that's coming together. Amazing people from all over the world. But there will be more to come later. But as I say, this is a young concept. It's less than 6 months old. And I'm in the process of studying international trust law so I can create the trust that will fund all of this, that people can donate to, and all tickets sales go into, every dollar, every dinar, everything taken in goes into the trust. And whatever isn't used for actually putting on the event, and I imagine under this circumstance that there will be a lot, goes back to help the people. That's it.
Fantastic. We love it. Stash, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Yeah,
thank you so much
for coming up with this concept. We are so excited.
And we're very, very grateful.
Absolutely ready to go. Can't wait till 2018.
Absolutely. This is going to be the celebration of a lifetime.
Absolutely, yes.
Very excited. Very excited to be a part of this at this time in human history. This is
I truly appreciate it, you know.
Our listeners, please look at the website and we look forward to maybe having you on our show again in 6 months' time to see what's been happening and what's progressing. So it's goodbye from us at Universal Solar.
We'll see you next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.